Trans Africa Radio.
Her name is Becca. She's featuring Kiss Danielle. It's called Gina on Trans Africa Radio. 7 minutes after the hour of 3 p.m. Central African time. It has just hit on Utopia. Kianglube is the name, going all the way to 5 p.m. Central African time with all of these feel-good vibes. And you know, when there's a brand new movie out in cinemas, you need to bring people to come through and tell us about the story and not behind the scenes what drama there was. There was no drama whatsoever. Get it from the director, get it from the actor. Just, yeah, we're talking movies right now, but we're talking 3 days to go, right? And 3 days to go tells about a story of adult siblings who are coming through to bury their father. You know, because this is actually a very true story amongst everyone, because there's drama. Yeah. There's not so much drama, but there's drama. So and in the building, I have director Bianca and cast member Ashish. How are you doing today?
Good.
Very well, good. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you.
Congratulations on the release. It was released it officially came out in cinemas on the 25th of January.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And how has it been doing so far?
Very cool. We're still running strong in cinema, which is great. So our support is growing. Word of mouth is doing well. More people are coming to the cinema. So I guess that means it's a good movie.
Definitely. The reception has been incredible. You know, we've had lots of friends and family reach out to all of us and convey their congratulations for the film. My mom's watched it twice already, so that's always a good thing. And it's good. It's good. People are talking about it. People are going to the cinemas. And I think one of the biggest attractions for it is it's extremely relatable in the sense that it crosses ethnicities and religion. And we all have, you know, those sort of siblings. We all have situations where we experience loss, and we all have unfortunate circumstances that bring families together. So it's incredibly relatable.
Definitely so. Like you said, it's the death of one of the head of the family. So you have to bring all the kids together, despite the drama, despite whatever the situation is. Let's do it.
That happens everywhere, right?
Definitely so. So how did you find yourself involved with this film, though? Like, individually so?
He can act as first.
Oh, okay. So, I've known Bianca. The first time I met Bianca, she was just so wonderful. I couldn't wait for the opportunity to work with her again. And I'm not even saying that because she's here, because she knows compliments. It's true. But I was fortunate enough to meet her on The Jakes Are Missing, right?
The Jakes Are Missing.
And luckily, I think I made a good enough impression. So when this film came around, I was fortunate enough to audition for it and get to have lunch with her and talk about the film and the character that I would be playing. And, you know, and I've said this before, not because she's here, but she's an absolutely wonderful and a very trusting director. And I was fortunate enough to have a lot of creative freedom, and I had a lot of fun on set to be able to play with this character. And she just said, give me more. So I gave all I could.
Yeah, we had to edit a lot of it out, right? I was like, everyone's going to watch the movie and be like, can we bring that guy back?
And finding yourself as a director of the movie, Bianca, how did that come about for you?
Well, I'm a producer by profession, but I had written the story, and I thought my producing partner Greg was like, "Why should we struggle to get a director? Why don't you just direct it? You wrote it, you know what it is." And I was like, "Yeah, I can do that." And then the next morning, I was like, "No." And then the next day, I was like, "Yeah, I could do that." So I went through a bit of that, but it was the better option to direct it. And it's my first time directing, so
congratulations.
Like, I didn't even know that.
Oh my god. That's the most compliment, by the way.
No, congratulations on that. How does it feel to be a first time director, though? Like, the highs, the lows, the goods, the bad,
all of that in one day. High, low, well, actually an hour. You feel all of that, like, constantly. But I guess one of the best things about it being my first time directing, is that I got to work with an amazing cast.
Yeah.
And every single one of them is a well-seasoned, they're all well-seasoned actors, except for our newcomer. But, you know, she was in great hands with a dialogue coach.
Hashtag open up the industry.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, yeah, we groomed somebody. We added one actor and three babies.
Yes.
Yeah, we added one teenager and three kids to the industry. But I was fortunate enough to work with talented actors that made my process so much easier. And everything became a conversation. Before we would start anything, we would sit and we would talk about, okay, we all know the scene, we all know where we're coming from, we all know where we're going. And everybody had a chance to give some sort of input in the making of, which made my life so much easier. It harder at some days because I couldn't get them to stop. I'm like, okay, stop.
Yes, that's, you do need a cutting point at some stage.
And that's just too much freedom.
Yeah, but when you're in it, you know. You can't, we just find ourselves just keep going and going and going because we're having so much fun.
It was a fun set, actually.
It was. I enjoyed every
In fact,
minute.
Our AD, probably the assistant director whose job it is to make sure that we're all quiet and we're all ready to shoot. And his job is
quiet
to make sure...
Quiet on set.
Yeah, yeah. That's
quiet
it.
On set. That's the one.
That we actually finished the day on time. His job was the hardest.
Okay.
Because we literally laughed.
Yeah.
The entire time. And because it was also old friends, I guess, in a way, we all had crossed each other's path in the industry at some point. And when I was writing the script, I'd call some of the lead actors up and said, hey, I want to write this for you. And we were all starstruck. We had an international actress that came through.
Yeah, Lillian Dubé.
Yeah. And so it was a laugh a minute. And everybody had a story to tell. And that's shame. Poor guy. That was...
Yeah, he had it
and
tough.
And our producer, Greg, would always walk around going, guys, you need to calm down.
We were the kids at the back of the bus.
Right.
That's who we were. And we had roped in the director to join the group. So
no, I got shouted at all the time. So,
yeah, she was with us.
Like, troublemaker. Quiet. And you're the leader. I didn't do anything.
So Ashish, tell us a little bit about the character that you play in the film 3 Days to Go.
So I play a character by the name of Brahman Jay, who is he's someone in the religious industry. He's a priest, a Brahmin, and
quite controversial.
Well,
this week.
In the religious
definitely.
Industry,
yeah,
wow.
Definitely. I think one of the difficulties for me is, getting into this character. One of my biggest influences and research pieces was Peter Sellers, Inspector Clouseau from the Pink Panther series, way back when.
Yeah,
and I really, really love Peter Sellers in films like The Party and The Pink Panther, and to me, that character was good because he was a bumbling fool, but he was a great detective.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what I wanted to bring to this character. I wanted him to be a funny, bumbling, falsely confident fool, but he's also got a unique relationship with his God and how he does things. And I think, you know, we managed to achieve that. It had to be a fine line because I didn't want to offend anybody.
Anyone?
That is in that line of work in being a priest, a Brahmin.
And he did his research, so. Right? He came on to sit and he's like, okay, I made some calls about some funerals. I'm like, okay,
yeah.
That's an interesting conversation to have. And we added in some nice
nuances
that were true to the culture.
Mm.
Do you ever find yourself like with cast members that just come through and just have done zero research about the type of character that they have to play and the background behind them and things like that? So like you said, you played a religious person, you're a priest, and you find people not doing any research in terms of like, what does it entail to be a priest? You
know? I think it does happen.
Well, more to her. I don't cast actors.
Yeah. I don't think it happened on this film because everybody that was cast had a chance to read the script and then took a meeting with me.
Yeah.
So it would be kind of off if you sat in the meeting
and you didn't
do any work. And then it would be
nothing.
Like, okay, so you're not going through to the next round.
Yeah. That's like one of these actors that says, I don't read the script reads me.
Yeah.
That's wow. Okay.
You should say that to somebody one day, though.
I don't read the script. The script reads me.
I can't take full credit. That's Robert Downey Jr. from Tropic Thunder.
So we have Bianca, the director of 3 Days to Go, and she's one of the cast members of the film in the building. Any questions, send them through. +27 792 544 329. Call on +27 111 447 7176. Right after this music break, we're going to talk about the behind the scenes things. Yes, we heard that y'all were the kids in the back of the bus.
Yes.
However, reveal some more. Give us some more.
Zambia, stand up.
Trans Africa Radio, made in Africa.
Produced by Shinko Beats, this is Click Fire on Bombshell featuring Jay Easy. It's called Tamanda on Trans Africa Radio. 21 minutes after the hour of a 3 p.m. CAT, this hit right here on Utopia. Talking 3 days to go, the film that is already out in cinemas. We have director Bianca and cast member Ashish in the building. But I forgot to do one thing before we started.
What's that?
I forgot to play the trailer. So let's play the trailer. Take a listen.
Who's dead?
Dad.
That'd be the day.
He died a few hours ago.
What?
How did that happen?
His heart stopped.
No, that's impossible.
Apparently that can happen. No one is touching his books, his clothes, or anything that belonged to him.
Okay.
So you just want to keep his stuff around like he's still alive? Amazing that my parents kept it together. They actually had a happy marriage. I'll say the same for Ricky or Amy or Melissa.
Claire's staying with the house.
First she takes my husband and now my house.
This is what we want.
No, Roy, it's what you want. What about what I want?
You think you're the only person that hates your life?
If we hate our lives so much, then why do we stay together?
Maybe that's why you're scared to marry me.
What?
I'm just scared of them, just like them.
I'm not like them, and you are definitely not like their partners.
Jan, we're going to be leaving just now.
You know we're supposed to have left early this morning, and look at the time now.
Oh, great, he sounds truthful.
Tell me something I don't know.
Ricky.
Babes, thank God it's you. Hiya, babes.
Where's my money?
I mean, I don't have it with me right now.
Let's try this again. Where's my money?
If anyone can handle this family, it's you.
Janet, you need to stop thinking about yourself for a minute, and we need to start thinking as a unit, as a family.
Oh my God, you're not even joking.
Oh lady, shut your mouth. You don't know what you're talking about.
What are you talking to my mother?
Why?
Hey, boys!
Why are you listening to Ricky? He's drunk.
You're drunk.
What's going on?
3 days, right? How bad can it be?
What makes you think you know the Bhagavad Gita better than I do, huh?
No, I'm just saying.
You're just saying our yearly calendar is incorrect and that you are going to rewrite the whole Bhagavad Gita like you write one of your children's books. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Is that what you're saying? No, it's correct!
So that's Ashish at the end.
Yeah. I was wondering if you would be able to put the tail on the donkey there. Well done.
Wow. And honestly speaking, in that 2 minutes and 15 seconds trailer, it pretty much sounds like most of our families when one of the heads pass away. It's just like, okay.
Yep.
Really? This is what's happening right now? And you have put it on film. You have put it on film. So, Jenny, honestly speaking, what was, besides the fact that, okay, this is what's happening, what happened for you to go ahead and put this down on paper and then put it on film? If I'm not getting a bit too personal.
No, there isn't a crazy backstory. Everybody looks at me like, what happened to you? No, I was getting ready to make another film that I wanted to make about family. And I just wasn't sure how or what I was going to say about family. And then I thought, okay, we all gather. So let's start there. We gather at funerals. And we hardly see each other throughout the year. But let's have an event and we're all there and it's a turn up. And guaranteed that one of us are going to start an argument or a fight. That's happened to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went the other way and chose a funeral because a wedding's like so normal.
Yeah.
But a funeral is not. Mm-hmm. It's a bit awkward. And that's really when your brothers and sisters come out of the woodworks, and you've known this person your entire life, and now when your dad or your mom dies, you see the other side of this person, which is like, oh my God, where have you been hiding?
Yeah.
And so we started from there, and I chose one boy because every mother loves their son.
That's true.
He can do no wrong.
I fully agree.
I live with that every day. My brother's like, I'll be like, hey mom, I just made a movie. Yeah, that's great. So your brother called. Like, okay, great. And then sisters, when they're together, it's just a disaster. And there becomes this competition amongst each other, or rather the lies of how great your life is. And what happens if you put all of them together and we're forced to live under this one roof for 3 days until we get to spread dad's ashes and walk away? What happens when you do that? And that's how it all came about.
Yeah, from beginning to end, it pretty much sounds like what would happen at a black funeral. I'm not going to lie to you, but the black funerals that I've attended and seen pretty much sounds like that, you know. So in terms, when you were getting everything formed up to start filming and everything, did you have the people that you wanted to be part of the cast in mind?
Yes. It was... funny story. Well, not really. It was a SAFTA's 1 year, and it was a big night for me and Leander Reddy, because she had won a SAFTA and I had won a SAFTA for the series that I did, Mlilo. And we met backstage, where they take you backstage after you win the award and you take pictures there. And we met backstage and I was like, oh my God, Leander, I'm writing a movie. I'm halfway through. Well, kind of. But I'd like to write the lead character for you. And she was like, cool. Send me the script. So I wrote with her in mind. And then the other sister, Melissa, the older one, I wrote with Jay Loshni in mind. And then Kajal, who plays the younger sister, she actually came on board the project as the casting director. She's also one of the co-producers, and we do projects, films together. And then I was struggling to find this person, and I was like, okay, dude, you just have to audition for this, because I don't know who's going to play this character. I tweaked it a bit for her. And it turned out, wow, she actually plays that role quite nicely.
Very. Yeah, she's great.
And then Rahul, the brother, that was a tough one. Because we went through quite a few characters. And Rahul walked in one day, and everybody had known him from 31 Million Reasons as this gangster. And we were worried, like, can he play a soft brother? And he walked in with his handsome huggy bear self, and then he just did the audition and was a winner. So that's how we put the family together. And then we couldn't find a mom.
Yeah.
And one day Kajal and I were at a breakfast, and we said, oh, who's our idol, like, in the Indian Bollywood market? And both of us, in fact, I think everybody has grown up watching Monsoon Wedding. When you were a kid, you've watched this film called Monsoon Wedding, and it was Lillette Dubé played the mom. And as you got older, you saw her in all these Bollywood films, and then the Best Marigold Hotel. And we were like, for shits and giggles, we were like, oh, okay, let's just send her the script and see what happens. She's probably, what's the worst thing? She's probably never going to respond.
Yeah, what happened?
A week later, a week later, she was like, cool, I'm in. When are we shooting? I was like, oh my God, did that just happen? I'm not prepared for it. And then we had to get prepared.
That is an incredible story.
And then I think the rest of the cast, like Zakia, Ashish, Jonathan, all the actors that came to support all these roles and support this family, just fell into place perfectly.
Yeah.
They all wanted to be part of the project. Everybody had something that they contributed that had so much value that it made sense for me. We became like the no family is perfect family on set.
Understand that 100%, Ashish, in terms of all the characters besides yourself, right?
Yeah.
Besides your own character, is there another character that you think that you could have played and did your best part in it as well?
Oh, of course. I could have played one of the daughters effortlessly. Effortlessly. I mean, you know, I look
good
at it.
You're such Amy.
You should have just grow your hair a little bit longer.
Yes. Got to go to Paris. I'll shave hair long. Come on, I'm pretty. Everyone's pretty. You know, truthfully,
And don't say the dad.
No. it's a difficult question to answer, to be honest, because mm-hmm. once you see it come to life, you don't really want to interfere or break what has been done.
Yeah.
You know, and the process getting into it, for me, the Brahmin was one of the best characters to play, in the sense that it's a very unique character. All these characters go through very relatable things in life. The film deals with addiction, being in an abusive relationship, being in an unloving relationship, a family that's apart, that's together but apart. They don't really speak to one another until something like this happens. So they all bring their own personal dilemmas under one roof when this tragic incident happens, and all of the actors that portray these characters bring a very real sense of realism to it. And to be honest, as much fun as I had being involved in this film, to watch it and be an audience member and see what everyone else has put in and brought to the table, the best way I can explain it is, you know, if you're having a dinner party and everyone brings something,
mm-hmm.
and you also bring something, and you know you make your best like pie or whatever, but you taste everyone else's and, oh god, this is great and that's great and that's great, and you don't feel any less about your milk tart, but everyone else's great. And that's what it's like for me. I went in and getting to interact with the actors that bring to life these other characters is just a wonderful experience.
What have you learned about yourself being part of 3 Days to Go?
I learned I'm very good with dogs. She knows why. So this is a true story. This was the last scene that was filmed throughout the film, but it's the first scene that you see my character come into. And on the day we were filming in this beautiful location, this beautiful house, and this family had pet dogs.
Uh-huh.
And in the take, we're doing the scene, and the dog starts barking. Right, so we're all mic'd, we obviously can hear it, and in the scene, without missing a beat, I say, shut up, and the dog stays quiet through the rest.
He became the dog whisperer.
Yes, okay. Dog whisperer, yeah. No, that was fun.
And that was a take that we used in the film.
Yes, and that's in the film.
Okay.
That's in the film, yeah, that dog almost steals the show there. it was great. I learned, it's very rarely that I got to experiment with comedic characters.
Well, mm-hmm. I was going to say, I didn't know you could do comedy so well.
Yeah, I try.
So you normally take serious stuff.
I have. I've been fortunate enough to play, you know, one of my idols was obviously Mr. Ahmed Kathrada, and that was obviously a very serious role. And I've been in films that require, it's very dramatic. So to do something that's on this end of the scale to be so comedic was really, really fun for me. And I learned quite a bit, you know.
In the next movie, we're going to get him to take off his shirt.
Yes. I wouldn't, that's
up the stakes
of it. Celebration. No. You know, I'm the opposite of Magic Mike. I'm mediocre Mike is what I am.
DSTV 872 all across Africa, 609 on OpenView HD, Mobi site is taradio.mobi, and our online publication is www.transafricaradio.net. You mentioned that you opened up the industry just a little bit.
Yes.
Three babies. And a teenager.
Yeah. So the film deals heavily with female characters. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost generational. The grandparents have their own issues. The kids have their own issues. And their children and their children's children. So it's a four-generation thing that where everybody gathers. And the teenager that we have is a young girl named Kiara. And her character name is Kiara. We were like, you can keep that name. We'll put it in the movie. Yeah. It also became easier for her on set. You know, I think it's easier with seasoned actors to know that, like, for example, Tumi Morake. We know her name is Tumi, but when her name is Babes in the film, everybody understands.
Yeah.
Right? She understands
it.
But so to ease someone like Kiara in, we just kept her name as the character name. And we found her straight out of school. She had done some acting in school. We did quite a big audition process, actually. And then we put two 3 kids in a dialogue program, a coaching program, and then based on that we chose the perfect one, and then she continued in this dialogue coaching. And I would like to take credit for her work on screen, but I would give that to the dialogue coach who really took all the hours of me talking to him about the character and translated it to her. And she's quite a surprise in the film. The character that she plays is a crazy teenager who's acting out like all teenagers do when they're in a tough spot. And she did extremely well. And the other two boys and the little girl, they're tiny babies, shame. And they're so cute. Everybody loved them. They don't even have 2 lines in the film. But they were there just at call cute. Time and they stayed through the shoot.
Yeah, we even shot at there was a night shoot.
Yeah. 2 nights of 4 p.m. to 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And the kids, and there's a whole lot of laws and rules with kids, so we tried to film them out. But they were those kids who were like, we don't want to go home.
Oh, yeah.
And then 1 hour later, on the couch, and there's their mom.
I remember that night. I got in trouble because we were making noise with the kids. I remember getting shouted from breaks.
Another night you got into trouble.
When we come back, we're going to actually talk about the importance of actually opening up the industry just a little bit. What it's like to have your film find new cinemas. And of course, where we can actually go ahead and catch it, right?
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Salty Soul featuring Yashinski. It's called Short and Sweet on Trans Africa Radio. They represent the land of Kenya. And before that, we traveled through to Gabon. BGMFK featuring Mr. Easy with Issa Vibe. Still have Bianca Nashish in the building. They're part of 3 Days to Go. Bianca specifically, me director.
And writer.
Yeah. I'm not the pretty face. He's the pretty face.
I'm the semi-pretty face.
He may be downplaying his prettiness.
Yeah, totally.
However.
Don't let them fool you.
Tell them about that hair.
That hair is great. They actually all have, both of them have Bianca has this curly, beautiful hair. You know, ladies, you know the wigs that we want in life. Bianca has that in real life. Right? And then Ashish has this beautiful short hair, but it's it's thick, it's pretty, it's healthy. It's just it's great hair in the studio.
Thanks.
I'll take that.
Yeah, thanks.
So let's talk a little bit about opening the industry, because you know there was a hashtag open up the industry, and there was a couple of celebrities that came out saying, I'll be damned if I open up the industry, this, that. However, when you take a step back, how important really is it to open up the industry?
I would say extremely important. You know, not so long ago, we were coming from communities that would not really encourage the arts as a career to pursue. It's all good and well. You can, if you like it, but you got to do something that's going to earn you a proper income. And it's been difficult from then, just number one, to break into the industry, and number two, to have a sustainable career and live off that. But we're starting to be more open-minded about that, because the only way to disrupt that is to go on and change, is to encourage musicians and songwriters and actors and directors and writers and so on and so forth to go forth and conquer. I think the open up the industry is also maybe misunderstood sometimes. I don't think people, I'm very passionate about the arts. So it I wouldn't say it upsets me, but it affects me when people want to get into the industry for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't love the craft, and if you don't appreciate the craft, and if you're not doing something for the greater benefit of the craft, then you really should, and craft in any aspect, you really should start to analyze why it is that you're doing what you're doing. Because a lot of people want, fame. Fame is, I would imagine, it's great, but there are many other ways that have been introduced to become very popular and very famous, and to not have to go through the hardships that this career choice brings with. You need really tough skin. So in saying that, I really do encourage anyone that wants to get into the industry in any aspect whatsoever. It's very difficult. It's very tough. And I think that the generation of filmmakers that exist today are also really opening up the doors to more musicians, more actors, and so on and so forth. So, yeah, that's my take on the opening up the industry.
I mean, I see it from the way of like a filmmaker, all the successful ones are leaving. Mm. Once they break out, once they become successful, they leave. Mm. And if we don't open up this industry, then all our talent, all the creators, all the job creators are going to leave.
Yeah.
Because TV can only cater to a certain market. And there's only so many TV shows that get done in a year. So only so many producers and production houses get that job. And only so many actors get cast. And film is becoming an avenue that we can open up and create more jobs and create that sustainability in the industry. And also give the producers and independent companies like myself, there's lots of independent companies out there, a reason to want to carry on doing this. And the only way we can do that is by opening up this industry. Mm-hmm. Keeping all your cards to yourself is not going to help you.
Yeah,
I can tell you now exactly how I went and made this movie. Chances of you trying to replicate that is not going to happen because it is so, so hard. So we must share this information. We must tell everybody the information we have. We must encourage people to want to do this. I mean, we're grooming two young producers now that will eventually take over from me when I'm tired. But, you know, we're grooming young people, and a part of this project, a lot of this project, was that we maintained 70% of this film was made by young people.
Yeah. Mm.
It's a big initiative of mine that I'm running down in Durban. It's something that I push very hard together with the, you know, female front, female behind the camera. So if we don't open up this industry, my big fear is that we're all going to like make that one movie that gives us a lot of attention, and then we're going to leave.
Yeah. Mm.
And so the industry as a whole is not going to grow. Actors are not going to be able to survive. And it becomes hard for us because when we're casting a movie and we want you and you telling us about the job that you have, I'm in two minds. Because one, I need you to choose me because I need to make this movie. But I also can't expect you to drop the thing that gives you your bread and butter.
Better, yeah.
To come and do this. Mm-hmm. It's impossible. So I'm fully into opening up the industry. I mean, obviously you can't say
everybody
it's on,
a free pool for everybody.
Let's do it, it's on. But we have to start, we have to say, okay, cool, if we're making 100 movies this year, well, we're not doing that, but let's say we're saying we're making 20 films this year. How about if we made 30 films? Or we encourage the producers that made films last year to come and make a film this year, yeah, and not wait 3 or 4 years yes, before your next mm-hmm. film, mm. You know. And we can do that by collaborating. We can do that by, I want to say, increased opportunities in financing, but I think our government is doing a great job in terms of assisting us financially. We have one of the best financial assistance mm-hmm. Models from our government.
Many people wouldn't know that because they think that government isn't playing their part in arts and crafts and things like that.
No, no.
South Africa's government has one of the best grants in the world. Not the best, but we're right up there. That's why people come and film here. Mm. International
we've got
movies
great
come here.
Tax incentives as well. This is why a lot of Hollywood films come to film here because they get the incentives from the DTIs and the tax incentives.
The problem, and you can't really chastise institutions. The NAVF has a grant. They can only give the grant to a certain number of people. You can't expect them to give it to everybody. That's how it is. And that's with all the institutions. They can only... Unfortunately, the film business is that where you need money to make money. Mm-hmm. You, like, where do you go to get that private investment? That's the thing that takes so long because the government support is there. The worst thing we could do to the industry is say, okay, here's all the money, just make free movies, because then we'll never learn how to run the business of film in order to grow the economy.
Yeah. Mm. So one thing that I really do love about your film 3 days ago is that besides opening up the industry to the new people that you've added in, you've also opened up our minds to think, as much as yes, I'm going through to Stoke Kinnickel to watch a film with, say, predominantly Indian, with a predominantly Indian cast, at the end of the day, I'm going to leave the movie, leave the cinema, having been somewhat I have related to that film, because like you said, it's a relatable film. It crosses borders, it crosses races, and that's an absolutely beautiful thing, because like we were talking about off air, sometimes you think, oh, predominantly Indian cast, it's not for me, you know? Or even just like I was saying, as a black person, or you have a Zulu movie there, it's not for me, it's just one speaking person, things like that. So congratulations on actually allowing us to just come together as an individual, as individuals from all different races and backgrounds, just like, actually, yeah,
we can do
we can do that.
I mean, if you can sit, as we were saying, if you can go and sit and watch an American film that has an old white cast, or it's like, I go watch Chinese films, and they're all Chinese or Japanese. You can go and watch this film as South African.
Definitely.
If you don't see it as like a black, white, Indian thing, you can go and watch this film as South African. Mm-hmm. And Tumi Maroka is a treat in the film.
Babes.
And
she's a gangster you'll want to work with. Yeah, let's put it that
way. Jonathan Boyton Lee is also fantastic in the film. And it really is a nice mixture. And it doesn't deal with race, and that's what
that's
I like.
That's the great thing. It just really just deals about family issues. And everyone has family issues.
Oh, no.
All the time.
Certainly.
I mean, our tagline is no family is perfect. I'd like to, I mean, I grew up thinking my family was awesome. I had the best family in the world. It was like, oh my God, I'm so happy. And the older I got, I was like, oh my God, these people are the worst.
Getting on my last
nerve. You lied to me. Oh my life. You know, because shame, they're not perfect. What are you going to do?
So when we go through to the cinema, what is it that you want someone, what you'd want someone to get out of watching the film?
I would, one, most importantly, I would like for people to know that there's, every family is crazy, and that's okay.
Actually, thinking about it now in the morning, we're talking about my family issues with mom. I was just like, gosh.
Yeah. And you know, if you haven't spoken to a family member in a very long time, I hope that after you watch this movie, you'll at least just pick up the phone and say hi. Don't have to apologize. Don't have to say anything. Just call and say hi. How you doing? And I'm pretty sure the other person will respond with a hi back. And And so if I can achieve that, and before that, I would like to achieve everybody going to watch it so that they can get that out of it.
Nationwide. Yeah, Stoke Kinnickel.
New Metro, Mont, all the independents, Monty, Gold Reef, Suncoast, Empress Palace.
All of it.
Just pick one.
Let's go.
Just pick one and go, guys.
And you've also, there's also a competition.
Oh, we have a competition.
Yeah.
So if you go to our social media pages, which is at 3 days to go movie on Facebook and Instagram, you stand a chance to win a trip to India.
Hey now.
Four nights.
My passport needs stamps.
4 nights in India. Accommodation paid for. There's a big Bollywood tour that's going on.
Ooh.
So all you have to do is like enter with a picture of your ticket to the number on the ad. And you could be going to India. Oh God, I should do the ad for that.
Yeah, you should. That sounded radio good, actually.
That sounded really good. So thank you so much for coming through.
It's been amazing.
Thank you so much for coming through and letting us know about what it's like to make a film, be the kids in the back of the bus.
Next film, I have a feeling on the next one, I'm going to get tortured.
Yeah.
Because everybody, I will be the headmaster going, why do you do this to me?
Yeah.
So we have one important question here at Trans Africa Radio. We play 100% African music, and our content as well is also Africa focused.
Yeah.
So as Africans in this industry that we are in, what does it mean to you to know that there is this station that is really just focused on what we do as Africans?
I think it's just an extension of opening up the industry. You know, it's an extension of believing ourselves. We were discussing this earlier about how, as South Africans, we are still somewhat divided. And I remember having a conversation with a friend some time ago, And majority of us, if you and I were to go overseas, and there would be one question that would be posed, probably the first question, is where you're from. And irrespective of gender, of race, religion, we would have the same answer: South Africa. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very powerful if you understand it, to start to enforce believing in ourselves as people, but also believing in our industry, in our music industry, in our film industry, believing in our actors, in our directors and writers. There's greatness within us. We are just waiting for the opportunity to be great for our people, and we'll let the rest of the world pay for it.
Yes.
I mean, I just listening to the last songs that you played, I was like, oh my God, I know those songs, right? And I choose to travel in Africa before I can go anywhere else. So while being in Nigeria, Tanzania, and like those, that kind of authenticity, it's better for me than an international song. But I think if you played, a lot more stations played it, it would be cool. Okay. Do you think that's a possibility? What's your ratio content of international versus...
Oh, we would play no international music unless you are part of the diaspora, like your French Montanas, your Wales, your Sade's and all those people. But other than that, our playlist is completely African.
This is 100% African.
That is fantastic. So. Yeah. If anything, I think we need to start introducing South African local music into films and start to create those sort of soundtracks very much like the American market does. Yeah. But we'll focus solely on African music.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be great. I can definitely see that happening.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah, Tand. See, I came up with that idea. Great. Great.
Thank you so much, Bianca. Thank you so much, Ashish.
Thank you very much.
All the best for the run of the film in cinemas.
Thank you.
I think it's going to do absolutely amazing things. And let's come through with a couple of SAFTAs.
Yes.
Yeah, this weekend, guys. Check it out. Tell us what you think.
Yes, please go. Take your friends, your family, mums, dads, sisters, brothers, especially if you're fighting with them. It's a movie that's going to make the fight look really
just
small.
Just don't fight in the cinema.
And when you go, enter the competition. And thank you for the support. Thanks to everyone that's been, and thanks to everyone that's going to go.
Trans Africa Radio. One voice. One voice. One.
Trans.